Good morning. We thank you for tuning into our radio program today. This program is brought to you each Sunday morning by the Parkway Church of Christ here in Bowling Green. We hope today that you will do something that we're actually going to talk about a little bit and search the scriptures. Check your Bible. Make sure that what we're teaching is from God's Word. This is vital that we do this because it's easy to be misled. It's easy to be deceived. People can be charismatic. People can be very influential. And as a result of that, they persuade unassuming people that what they're saying is correct. So we need a standard higher than man. We need a standard higher than our own emotions and our ability, our sensitivities, because this is what gets us into trouble in religion. We want to always, you know, the thing that we have built into us is the assuming factor. We want to assume that because someone claims to be someone, claims to be qualified in a certain way, claims to be telling us the truth, that that must mean that they are. We don't know that. We don't know that unless we can prove it. So that's why we always come on the radio and encourage you to do what the people in Berea did that you read about in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 and search the scriptures to see whether those things are so. We encourage you to do that today. Take a Bible and make sure that what we're saying is true. Some people, I've noticed some teachers that teach, Bible teachers, and they teach and don't give book, chapter, and verse references for their points, for the principles that they stand for. And, you know, this is why we do this. I think some people may wonder why some of us do this the way we do. Well, it's just a matter of expediency. It's expedient for you that we do this. Because you can actually go to the reference in Bibles, all of the reliable translations are numbered pretty much the same way. Now, you will catch some differences between some of the translations as far as the placement of verses. We know this because of passages like Philippians 1, 16 and 17 from the American Standard to the King James. You'll see verse word placement a little different, but it'll just be a verse off. You can go there and find it very quickly. So, and I try to keep those things in mind when I'm citing passages so that I can tell you what they are in different translations. But the point being, they are numbered basically the same, or if not identical, in most translations. So this is something that accommodates us. We can go there and find the passage quickly, look it up, and see whether or not the things are true. So keep this in mind. But the reason I'm going on here in the introduction about this is because I want to talk about that this morning. Before we do that, though, let me remind you of the service times of the Parkway Church of Christ as well as the location of our building. In case you're not a regular listener here but would like to come and meet with us, we would love to have you. If you are a regular listener, you don't have a regular place of worship, we encourage you to come, of course, and come and meet with us. And we'd like to meet you, and if you have any questions, we would love to address those for you. But our building is located at 125 Hilltopper Avenue here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and then we meet together at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings for Bible classes, as well as then meeting together in the auditorium at both 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings for worship. And those services, in case you're curious, run for about an hour. The Bible study on Sunday morning and, of course, the break in between combined add up to about an hour. So this is not much time out of your schedule. And we encourage you to come and meet with us. Bible study on Wednesday evenings is at 7 o'clock. I want this morning, as I said, to think a little bit, talk a little bit about this idea of searching the scriptures. Why does the Bible talk about this? If you are a a student of the Scriptures and you maybe have been interested in the Gospel of John in the past, you'll notice something that just continues to be a theme through the book. That is, emphasis by Jesus upon the words of God. In all of these major contexts, passages that talk about very consequential context, consequential passages, that talk about, for example, judgment, that talk about fellowship with God, that talk about heaven, it's just constantly interwoven in these passages. The importance of the Scriptures. Look at with me at John chapter 5. John 5 and verse 37, Jesus said, "The Father who has sent me has testified of me." The Father who sent me testified of me. Now we're going to see how that was done. In other words, Jesus came, but before he came, he was testified of. You've never heard his voice, neither have you seen his form. You know, no man can look upon God and live. And so, as far as the Father, he's talking about the Father here, that person of the Godhead. That's unique about him. And he says in verse 38, "You do not have his teaching abiding in you, for you do not believe in the one whom he has sent." Now, Jesus had just said that the Father had testified of him, but they didn't receive the testimony. Now he says, in the teaching of God, he says it doesn't abide in you. The teaching of God does not abide in you. Now we're going to be focusing on that just here in a little bit. But he says, you do not believe in the one whom he has sent. Verse 39 says, you search the Scriptures. Now the King James words this a little differently. It says, search the Scriptures. It puts it in more the imperative mood. But this is, many translations, newer translations say, you search the Scriptures because you think that you have eternal life in them. Instead, they testify of me. So they were putting their confidence in Scripture, but they were ignoring the Scriptures that foretold of Christ. Now, this would be a spiritually fatal mistake. And there are two fatal mistakes here that are talked about. Jesus said you need to have the words of God abiding in you. And by the way, this language is found elsewhere in Scripture several times. For example, while I'm thinking about it, in the parable of the vine and the branches in John chapter 15, many people know this passage. Jesus says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser." But look at verse 3 of John 15. "You are already pruned or cleaned or cleansed through the words which I have spoken to you." Verse 7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." In order for prayers to be answered or answerable, God's words have to be abiding in us, right? That's what he said. John 15:7. In order for us to be spiritually cleansed, the cleansing agent is God's words. Somebody says, "I thought it was the blood of Christ." It is the blood of Christ, but it is also the result of teaching, because without teaching, you would not even know the significance of the shed blood of Christ. We would just see Jesus without the Scriptures, without the descriptions and explanations. We would just see Jesus as a martyr, like, for example, Stephen in Acts chapter 7, right? Or James in Acts chapter 12. We would just be another martyr. But no, Jesus was not a mere martyr. Jesus died as an atonement or propitiatory sacrifice. Jesus died as our Passover. as our Passover lamb. And so the New Testament is very clear here about the significance of teaching, the significance of God's words. And he said, you must have these abiding in you. So, friends, I want you to notice the difference between merely reading the Scriptures and learning the Scriptures and making an application of the Scriptures. There's a big difference between the two. I always encourage reading of Scripture, but there must be some objective. We may read literature. You know, I read a lot of different things about things about hobbies. I don't read many books. I read the Bible as much as I can. But I'm not a big book reader per se. But there are many things that we do read that really don't matter if we remember any of it. That's just true. That's just the way it is. It's the nature of things. But Jesus said, now, when you read, you search the Scriptures, and when you apply yourself to the Scriptures, he said, this needs to have an objective. They need to abide in you. It must be purposeful. They need to abide in you. God's words, in order to be effective, must abide. Furthermore, we must accept all applicable Scripture. And this lesson is very, very firmly, clearly taught in John chapter 5 and verse 39, when Jesus said, you search the Scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them. But he says, instead, they testify of me. In other words, you have rejected me. Why did I say they had rejected Christ? Look at the next verse, verse 40. But you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. So Jesus said that the words of God had purpose, and that God's words must abide in us, verse 38. But that we must understand that certain passages have more significance in certain regards. For example, look at the Old Testament. Look at the Old Testament to us today. Is it important to us? It is absolutely important to us. Paul says that in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, that whatever things, whatsoever, King James, things were written aforetime or beforehand, newer versions have, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I'm quoting Romans 15:4. So we see the significance of Scripture, even the Old Testament Scripture. This also is clearly set forth in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy had learned the old Scriptures. They were able to make him wise unto salvation. But particularly which parts of the old Scriptures, if you're living under the New Testament? Jesus said, the ones that speak of me. The ones that testify of me. So while we need the Old Testament for its historical value, for the structure that is there expressed and given as the basis of how things work in the New Testament, all of those are significant. Good studies have even been done on the genealogies. These are significant. And so you may be reading that thinking, why is that here? Well, it helps us fit together the larger picture. It helps us to connect certain dots. Understand who Jesus is and why he came to the earth. Things like that. And so there are certainly powerful reasons for the old Scriptures, the Old Testament, but the Gospel contains the plan of salvation. The Gospel contains the message, the code of behavior for people today. The Gospel teaches us, the New Testament, that it is the sacrifice of Christ, not the blood of bulls and goats, that the Hebrew writer said could never take away sin. Hebrews 10:4 says it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So, friends, you can see the difference here. So, Jesus says, but you will not or are not willing to come to me that you might have life. Notice that he said, you are not willing. He did not say, but you cannot come to me that you might have life. He said, you are not willing to come to me. It was a matter of personal volition. Calvinists and religions that are infected with Calvinism that may not really realize that their positions are Calvinistic don't even believe this verse of Scripture, because they believe that humans are crippled by their nature. They call it a sinful nature. And so they would say that you cannot come to God. You're incapable of doing that. Jesus says you will not. It's a matter of will. What will you do? That is also another theme of the Gospel of John. This idea of willingness to do what God would have us to do. You see that in John chapter 7. Again, it's sort of restated this same idea. Jesus said in verse 16, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Verse 17 says, if anyone wishes to do his will. Does that sound like inability, or does that sound like a question of volition? What if I were to ask you what you would like to do? Do you always consider that as being equal with what you can, what you're capable of doing? Jesus said, anyone who wishes to do my will, or do his will, the will of the Father, he will know of the teaching whether it is from God or if I speak from myself, or that is, if I speak on my own initiative. Jesus is clear in John 7 and verse 17 that we have the ability, because he said, if you wish to do this, if you have a desire to do it, then you are capable of doing it. So friends, my point is that if you look at passages like John 5, 37 through 40, you're going to read that and walk away realizing that Jesus wants his word, the words of God, to abide in us. And that when we are thinking in terms of God's word, there are some passages, some teaching that either are applicable to us versus some that are not, or passages that are more applicable with regard to certain things. And we need to understand how that works. For example, look at John chapter 6. John 6. I'm convinced that there are many things that I will be able to learn from God's Word. I'll be able to read and study and maybe well know at one point in time, then forget. You know, as we age, we start thinking about forgetting things. Our memories are just not what they are when we're young. And so, does it mean that we need to fret our, you know, spiritual lives away because we forget things in the Bible or forget where they were or things like this? Does this mean that we're going to lose our souls? No, because look at this in John chapter 6. John 6, Jesus said to the Jews, stop complaining among yourselves. Now, this is the passage where Jesus was setting himself forth as the bread of life. He said, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, but what happened to them? He twice stated here in a very short run of verses, and are dead. God gave them that miraculous bread from heaven, the manna. It fell down, they gathered it up, they ate it, and then they eventually died. He said, your fathers ate that manna, but they died. He said, now I constitute a bread of life that if you eat, you will not die. If you what? If you eat it, you will not die. Now, this led some people to think, is he saying that we must eat his flesh, literally that is, and drink his blood in order to be saved, in order to live in some way? Verse 63, Jesus said, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words which I speak to you, they are spirit, they are life." But some did not believe. So, what misconception did the Jews have as a result of the bread of life sermon of John chapter 6? I wish we had time to read this entire chapter. Maybe you could do that sometime and you get a chance. Read John chapter 6. And when you get to this last half of the chapter, it's a fascinating discussion about the nature of salvation. What words we need to pay attention to. And I'm not here, of course, in this program suggesting that we do not need to appreciate all of God's words. I have whole sermons I preach on not picking and choosing from among God's words. What I'm doing here is showing that there are things in Scripture that are vital that we understand. There may be parts of the Bible we'll read and not understand, things that are hard to understand, Peter talked about. There may be passages that we just never really grasp the full meaning and implications of. There are running debates among very conscientious Christians over the meanings of various obscure passages in Scripture. My point is, these will not condemn us or necessarily save us. That's the point of Jesus. What we need to do is go through and find out what we need to believe and do in order to be saved. So here we're going to see this now in the next words. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, "Stop complaining among yourselves. No one," verse 44 now, "no one can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Okay, now, we're talking about being saved here. "I will raise him up at the last day." How will this happen, Jesus? What do I need to do? Because we read back in the previous chapter, in John 5, that the problem the Jews had was not focusing upon the pertinent scriptures. They fabricated their various religious ideologies. They focused upon certain things that the scriptures did not emphasize or focus upon. And basically fabricated their own religion. According to Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So this was a problem that they had, that the first century Jews had. What does Jesus say we need to do? Well, he says it's written in the Scripture, it's written in the prophets, "Everyone shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Everyone who has heard and learned of the Father comes to me. We need to be looking at the Scriptures that guide us in the way of Christ, don't we? We need to know those. Now, then we need to do what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 4. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We need to respect all truth and all Scripture. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus directs the Jews to focus upon those things that guided them, that directed them into the way of Christ, that revealed to them the way of salvation. Jesus says the only way to be raised up in the last day, that is, to life, is to be taught by God. And in John 5, he said, that is to be taught so that one is directed to Christ. And then, of course, as we saw in verse 63 of John chapter 6, the flesh profits nothing. Why did Jesus say that? Well, because his physical body was a mere human physical body. The spirit that animated that body was fully divine. God with us, Matthew 1:23. So the spirit that animated, that operated, that inhabited, that took up its dwelling, John chapter 1, verse 14, in that body was fully divine, but the body was fully human. Flesh and blood, that he might be made like his brethren, Hebrews 2, 14 talks about. And so we need to appreciate what Jesus is saying here, because a lot of people tend to focus upon flesh and fleshly things. Jesus says, the words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now here's a problem with this approach that people have. The problem is that I don't know if it's just maybe too simple for people. It's not as sort of fantastical, as you hear sometimes people say, as they would like to believe, or as a religion that they would like to practice. I don't know what it is, but here's what happens a lot of times. Verse 66, it says, therefore, many of his disciples turned back and did not walk with him anymore. Now, this is kind of sad. We do see that by the time you get down to Acts chapter 1, where the promise of the Holy Spirit is about to be fulfilled, the Spirit sent upon the apostles to guide them into all truth so they could preach it and teach it to others and write it down. We see that by that time there was only 120 people. And this verse helps us understand how it dwindled so quickly and so much. Therefore, many of his disciples turned back and did not walk with him anymore. Notice that it says a couple of things that are significant here. Many of them. It didn't say a few of them. That's, in our human experience, just always going to happen. There will always be a few who we see that maybe we have contact with that, you know, lose interest in truth, sadly. This says many of them did. And Jesus was the teacher. This answers the old quibble that some people have. Well, why doesn't Jesus just, you know, if he could be here before, if he would just come back to the earth and, you know, teach these people, and then we would have all of these converts? No, it's not. It wasn't the mere fact of the presence of Jesus that resulted in converts. He said, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. No, it was the fact that they rejected the message. They just could not appreciate what Jesus was saying here. When they heard this, they turned back and walked no more. I always thought it was interesting in verse 65, right before that verse, it says, and he was saying, because of this I have told you that no one can come to me except it were given to him my Father. Now that's verse 44 that we read, right? And then verse 45 was the answer to it. It's written in the prophets, everyone shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Emphasis upon teaching. And Jesus restated that, and then it says in the very next verse, verse 66, therefore many of his disciples turned back and did not walk with him anymore. Now friends, I want you to think about that. What was it really they just didn't have an interest in? They didn't have an interest in God's Word. And Jesus told them in chapter 5, we read, that if you do not abide in my word, and if my words don't abide in you, then you cannot have life. So we need to appreciate not just Bible study, but we need to appreciate the application of its teaching, but the abiding sense of it. It needs to become a part of us. We need to focus upon understanding the Scriptures and properly applying the Scriptures. And those who are interested only in the, you know, what we call the academic portions of Scripture, be careful with that. You need to think in terms of the forgiveness of your sins. You need to be directed to Christ, those Scriptures that lead you there. Time is up today. We hope today that you will think in terms of listening again next week. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day.